Book 12, page 127. After we were clear of the river Oceanus and had gotten out into the open sea, we went on till we reached the Aeaean island, where there is dawn and sunrise, as in other places. We then drew our ship onto the sands and got out of her onto the shore, where we went to sleep and waited till day should break. Then, when the child of morning, rosy-fingered Dawn, appeared, I sent some men to Circe's house to fetch the body of Elpenor. We cut firewood from a wood where the headland jutted out into the sea, and after we had wept over him and lamented him, we performed his funeral rites. When his body and armor had been burned to ashes, we raised a cairn, set a stone over it, and at the top of the cairn we fixed the oar that he had been used to row with. While we were doing all this, Circe, who knew that we had gotten back from the house of Hades, dressed herself and came to us as fast as she could, and her maidservants came with her, bringing us bread, meat, and wine. Then she stood in the midst of us and said, "You have done a bold thing in going down alive to the house of Hades, and you will have died twice to other people's wants. Now then, stay here for the rest of the day, feast your fill, and go on with your voyage at daybreak tomorrow morning. In the meantime, I will tell Odysseus about your course, and will explain everything to him so as to prevent your suffering from misadventure, either by land or by sea." We agreed to do as she had said, and feasted through the livelong day to the going down of the sun. But when the sun had set, and it came on dark, the men laid themselves down to sleep by the stern cables of the ship. Then Circe took me by the hand, and bade me be seated away from the others, while she reclined by my side, and asked me all about our adventures. "So far so good," she said, when I had ended my story. "And now pay attention to what I am about to tell you. Heaven itself indeed will recall it to your recollection. First you will come to the Sirens, who enchant all who come near them. If anyone unwarily draws in too close and hears the singing of the Sirens, his wife and children will never welcome him home again, for they sit in a green field and warble him to death with the sweetness of their song. There is a great heap of dead men's bones lying all around, with the flesh still rotting off them. Therefore, pass these Sirens by, and stop your men's ears with wax, that none of them may hear. But if you like, you can listen yourself, for you may get the men to bind you as you stand upright, on a cross-piece halfway up the mast, and they must lash the rope's ends to the mast itself, that you may have the pleasure of listening. If you beg and pray the men to unloosen you, then they must bind you even faster." All right, so Circe is giving him warnings, kind of like Tiresias did, but she's giving him more warnings. So she says, here's what's up for you next in your voyage. First, you're going to come to the Sirens. The deal with the Sirens is that they sing. They sing so beautifully that the effect of the Sirens singing is kind of like the lotus blossoms, right? When you hear it, all you care about is listening to them. And that, why are dead men's bones lying about? No, like they don't eat them. They starve to death. Men hear this. They hear the singing. They crash their ship on the shore so that they can get close to the singing. And they just sit and listen to the singing until they waste away. They don't care about anything, just like lotus blossoms. They don't care about getting home. They don't care about food or drink. All they want to do is listen to the singing. So what's the plan? How is he going to make his men keep rowing and not go over to the Sirens? Yeah, he's basically making earplugs. That's exactly right. He's going to take wax, squish it up into little earbud shapes, and put it in the men's ears. Because if they can't hear it, no problem. They can sail right by. Except for Odysseus, of course. Because he's still special, right? Our arrogant little friend. What does he get to do? How is he going to listen?
They're going to tie him to the mast of the ship so
Perfect.
He can't get...
Yep, they're supposed to tie him up to the ship. And then if he begs them, let me go so I can go to them, what are they supposed to do?
Tie him tighter.
Yes, tie him even tighter. So, what do you think of that plan?
Smart.
Okay, raise your hand if you think it doesn't have a chance in the world of working. Certain doom is around the corner. Raise your hand if you think, wait a minute, this is pretty smart, this could work. Okay, only a couple think it's going to work, a couple think they're all going to die, and obviously we have a few undecided. All right, keep that in mind. Circe is still giving him warnings. When your crew has taken you past these Sirens, middle of 128, I cannot give you coherent directions as to which of two courses you are to take. I will lay the two alternatives before you, and you must consider them for yourself. On the one hand, there are some overhanging rocks against which the deep blue waves of the Amphitrite beat with terrific fury. The blessed gods call these rocks the Wanderers. Here not even a bird may pass, no, not even the timid doves that bring ambrosia to Father Zeus. But the sheer rock always carries off one of them, and Father Zeus has to send another to make up their number. No ship that ever yet came close to these rocks has gotten away again. But the waves and whirlwinds of fire are freighted with wreckage and with the bodies of dead men. The only vessel that ever sailed and got through was the famous Argo on her way home from the house of Aeetes. And she too would have gone against these great rocks, only that Hera piloted her past them for the love she bore to Jason. Of these two rocks, the one reaches heaven, and its peak is lost in a dark cloud. This cloud never leaves it, so that the top is never clear, not even in summer and early autumn. No man, even though he had 20 hands and 20 feet, could get a foothold on this rock and climb it, for it runs sheer up, as smooth as though it had been polished. In the middle of it, there is a large cavern, looking west and turned towards Erebus. You must take your ship this way. But the cave is so high up that not even the stoutest archer could send an arrow into it. Inside the cave sits Scylla. She yelps with a voice that you might take to be that of a young hound, but in truth, she is a dreadful monster. And no one, not even a god, could face her without being terror-struck. She has 12 misshapen feet and 6 necks of the most prodigious length. And at the end of each neck, she has a frightful head with 3 rows of teeth in each, all set very close together, so that they would crunch anyone to death in a moment. And she sits deep within her shady cell, thrusting out her heads and peering all around the rock, fishing for dolphins or dogfish or any other larger monster that she can catch of the thousands with which the Amphitrite teems. No ship ever yet got past her without losing some men, for she shoots out all her heads at once and carries off a man in each mouth. You will find the other rock lies lower, but they are so close together that there is not more than a bowshot between them. A large fig tree in full leaf grows upon it, and under it lies the sucking whirlpool of Charybdis. 3 times in the day does she vomit forth her waters, and 3 times she sucks them down again. See that you not be there when she is sucking, for if you are, Poseidon himself could not save you. You must hug the Scylla side and drive your ship by as fast as you can, for you would better lose 6 men than your whole crew. Okay, let's stop and make sure we have a good picture of this. She says there's 2 ways to go, and I can't tell you which way. You have to choose. Have you heard of the phrase, lesser of 2 evils? This is what that is. Both of these alternatives are horrible, but one is a little less horrible. Okay? These rocks lie pretty close together. Odysseus must go in between them. One rock is a huge cliff, and it's so shiny it's like glass, so there's no way you could climb it. Way up high on this cliff, there's a cave. Inside the cave lives a monster. The monster's name is Scylla. Scylla has how many feet?
12.
How many necks?
6.
6 necks of prodigious. Prodigious means very long. Very great length. The necks are so long, at the end of each neck, there's a head that has 3 rows of sharp teeth all next to each other. Scylla lies in wait in her little dark cave. The cave is so high up that you can't even shoot an arrow up with a bow and arrow. When a ship goes by, all of a sudden, she shoots out her 6 necks and grabs a man in each mouth and gobbles them up. If you choose not to go by Scylla, the other way, the other option is Charybdis. Charybdis is a whirlpool. It's such a huge, scary, strong whirlpool that 3 times a day it sucks everything in. Can you make gross sucking noises? Oh, you can do better than that. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, come on. Don't make me do it alone. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, gross sucking noises. I won't make you do this part. Then she vomits everything up. Right? All the water gets vomited up. 3 times a day, in, out, in, out. Anything that would be sucked in and vomited up would be completely destroyed. So, Circe says, lose 6 men or lose all the men? Obvious choice? 6 men, right? Because that's better than losing all of them. All right, so let's keep going. But Odysseus is still Odysseus, and he says, wait a minute. All right, I get the whole lesser of two evils. I get the whole rock in a hard place. Get it? Rock in a hard place, because they're rocks. But I'm bunch, no? I get that whole rock in a hard place, but come on, I'm Odysseus after all. So he says, is there no way of escaping Charybdis and at the same time keeping Scylla off when she's trying to harm my men? You daredevil, replied the goddess. You are always wanting to fight somebody or something. You will not let yourself be eaten even by the immortals, for Scylla is not mortal. Moreover, she is savage, extreme, rude, cruel, and invincible. There is no help for it. Your best chance will be to get by her as fast as ever you can. For if you dawdle about her rock while you are putting on your armor, she may catch you with a second cast of her six heads and snatch up another half dozen of your men. So drive your ship past her at full speed and roar out lustily to Crate, who is Scylla's damn bad luck to her. She will then stop her from making a second raid upon you. Odysseus says, but I want to fight. Let me fight. And she says, no, silly Odysseus, you can't fight. Because if you try to fight, your luck, you'd probably end up with her snatching six more of your men. And then instead of losing six, you've lost 12.